Peter now says, but there were also false prophets among the people. Now, you can tell he kind of goes right into this subject from where he left off, and he had just mentioned how prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God as they spoke. They spoke as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. That God is the one who authored His Word. The Scripture is of no private interpretation. It's not from any private origin of some person's thought processes. Gee, I'm going to make this up. And a lot of people think that man wrote the Bible. Well, he may have written it in the sense of penned it, but God was behind those words. All Scripture is inspired of God, the Bible says. And it's important to understand that because there is a great difference. It's men moved by the Holy Spirit. But then the contrast, notice, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Not every grocer sells fresh food. Not every policeman is out for your good. Not every salesman will sell you something helpful. Not every doctor wants you better. Not every pastor tells the truth. I think it's important to understand there are many charlatans, there are many frauds, hucksters, quacks, cheats in every walk of life. And in every walk of life, you're going to lose something as you encounter these people. But nothing is more important than your standing with your Creator. We're talking eternal life here. You know, you can lose something from a huckster. I remember seeing this story of this elderly couple had taken down their savings to the bank and deposited in the night deposit box, or what they thought was the night deposit box. The actual night deposit box was covered up with a sign saying, out of order, use temporary box. And this box was attached to the wall of the bank there, and they put all of their money in this thing and, of course, never saw it again. They were deceived. Now, if you're bilked out of your money or you're tricked out of your money, that's one thing. But if you're tricked by some false teacher or false prophet, you have a lot more to lose than you realize. Satan's strategy from the time Jesus came has been quite interesting. If you look at church history, you see something very interesting. One of the first plans of attack that Satan had was to try to bash the church to pieces with persecution. Intimidate them. I mean, make it look like, hey, you're going to have to give your life up if you're going to follow this. So he figured not many would. His whole philosophy of Job was still around. He says that people will do anything to save their life, so they'll deny God if they have to save their life. So his first method was to attack with persecution. But it didn't work. For every Christian that he was martyred, two more came into being. He saw that didn't work. He still employs it in certain cases, but he changed to another method largely. Kind of the philosophy, if you can't beat them, join them. So Satan got dressed up, grabbed his Bible, and went to church. And in effect, that's what really happened. You see, he employed this other method. He became religious and offered many alternatives to choose from. In fact, there's a great tendency by doing that to frustrate the buyer into cynicism. Seeing all the competing advertisements, he throws up his hand in disgust and says, they're all the same. In fact, I read an article in Life magazine where the one Life writer concluded this in his religious search. He said, in a way, he concluded this religious search in a way that I believe reflects many people in America. He said this, after studying so many religions, he settled into a posture of whatever, saying this. He says, I don't confine myself to the faith of my fathers anymore. All the religions are spread before me, a great spiritual smorgasbord, and I'll help myself. Thank you. Now, do you realize how many people have adopted that philosophy? Oh, there's so many different choices out there. It doesn't really matter anymore. It's, you know, whatever you think is right is fine. And everyone is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And it works. You see, if you have a storefront and you're trying to sell something, your competitor can throw stones in your windows to try to stop you. But even more efficiently is if he sets up a store next to you and next door and then down the street and across the street and all over the place so that the buyer comes and is confused with all the choices. It's a very effective strategy. But we as Christians are called to be aware. Why? Because there are some in the church purportedly doing God's will, but not really. They're actually serving their own agenda, their own hidden motives for their self. Now notice when you read this, Peter, interestingly enough, is judging. That's right, he's judging. He's making a judgment call on certain people, false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. He's judging this. Now, be careful, it's not the type of judging that Jesus referred to when he says, judge not lest you be judged. That was a more of a condemnatory, you know, you're deciding who is going to make it to heaven and who's not. Well, God knows the heart. You can't make that judgment. But we are called to discern. We must discern. Jesus said a good tree will not produce bad fruit. Now, naturally, by saying that, it makes us inclined to say, well, I've got, maybe not a judge, but I've got to be a fruit inspector. I've got to be able to tell what's good fruit and what's bad fruit. I've got to be able to see it. Paul told the Hebrews in Hebrews 5, he says, by this time you ought to be teachers, yet you need someone to teach you again the first principles. You've come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who takes milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But notice, he says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, by those who reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that's what we're about, getting matured, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, Paul tells the people in Ephesians, but growing up, being rooted and grounded in the Lord, and growing up into all things who is the head. Now, Jesus tells us to judge not according to appearance, but with righteous judgment. So on one side, he says, judge not lest you be judged. And then in John 7:24, he says, judge according to righteous judgment. And Paul later reminds us, don't you know that you'll judge the world? How much more? You'll judge angels. How much more are you competent to judge the trivial cases that are brought before you? Now, key is let the buyer beware. Anytime you go out shopping, you judge products. You say, well, you know, you've compared products. You've made a judgment. Well, this product is better than this product. You judge food. You know, if you buy a defective product, it will cost you. But if you follow a damnable spiritual teaching, it could cost your soul forever. And that's what this issue is all about. That's what we need to be aware of. Peter, you know, his sharing, there were false prophets among the people. There will be false teachers among you. It's a certainty, folks. We ought not to be surprised about it. Now, there are obvious fakes, the Jim Jones type of people who led all those people to commit suicide, David Koresh, who had just wild teachings as he huddled up there and he stocked up guns in his complex. You know, the snake handlers, the wide-eyed weirdos that you see sometimes on these specials that are purportedly supposed to be Christian. Those are easy to spot and go, yeah, no. We know that's weird. And then there are obvious good ministries. Ministries that you've heard the Word of God and you've been fed. Chuck Smith and Charles Stanley and Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and a number of others that you're going to get good, solid exposition of Scriptures and you're going to grow because the Word of God will have its effect in your life. But then there's all the ones that kind of somewhere in the middle, you're wondering, you know, they seem so godly. They come on so spiritual, but I'm just not sure. People like Benny Hinn, or Reverend Ike, or Paul and Jan Crouch, or Ken Copeland, or Ken Hagen. I know some of you might hear these names and get a little upset at me. Why are you mentioning their names in that context? Well, I haven't judged them. But I'm asking you to judge and to discern whether the fruit is good. You're called to. This is what Peter tells us to do. We've got to be wise in these things. The term false prophet is a term actually pseudo-prophet. It's something that appears to be, but it's pseudo, it's fake, it's counterfeit. Same thing with the false teacher, pseudo-teacher. It's a spurious teacher, one who is propagating false Christian doctrine, and not just out of ignorance, but one who is purposely trying to deceive. Now, the Bible also does say there are people who are deceived and being deceived, and I think it falls hand in hand. But I think the deception begins first. Once a person makes a decision to deceive someone for ulterior motives, down the line, he actually believes himself those lies and he deceives himself. That's kind of the punishment of taking that course of action, I believe. But still, nonetheless, we need to be careful. The idea here is they secretly bring in destructive heresies. You know, they're not going to advertise. I am a false prophet, and I'm going to deceive you because I want you to see you burn eternally in hell, and the only reason I'm deceiving you is because I want something from you. And they're not going to say that. It's going to be quite secret. It's hidden. You know something's not right when something's secret. If it's not done openly, something's not right. When there's some secret initiation to this order that you're following, you ought to have your brain cells checked to sign up with something that you don't know what you're signing. It amazes me how many people will actually join some type of an organization, a secret organization, which requires them to profess and actually give a covenant, a vow of commitment to this organization no matter what happens, when they only know the first few lines of the belief of that organization. And many other things are secret. And yet people do this all the time. They just see the outside things and think, well, it's pretty good, and they don't know what the hidden agenda is. They don't see what the fine print is. Well, it's true in the church. Very possible that a person can come here to Calvary, bring a Bible, sit in the service, hang out in the foyer, and, kind of look all spiritual. But after the service, they are drawing disciples after themselves. They interject questions that cause little divisions. Well, I know Pastor Lloyd said this, but, I know there's another view, and I think that, and it just seems, and they try to throw things in. They get your confidence because they're deeply spiritual. In fact, most of the wolves that I have seen in this fellowship, and I say that because I have identified a few in the 10 years that we've been here, they come on as the most spiritual people you'd ever want to meet. I mean, they make you look like you're a carnal Christian standing next to them. But there's something devilish in the outcome of what they are intending to do. It's subversive. It's constantly calling, questions into mind. In fact, the whole term heresy, that's what really the term means. Heresy is literally a word that means options, choices, alternatives. But it has a negative connotation, which says these options that lead to divisions. Paul tells us there must needs be heresies among you, that those who are of the truth may be approved. In other words, it's going to be a part of our experience as a Christian. We're going to encounter heresies, insinuations against the truth. It's kind of like Satan when he first questioned God's word to Eve. Remember that? Has God indeed said that if you eat of every tree, you'll die? He kind of insinuated that God was saying, you can't eat of all these trees. And that question, did he really say die? And then the next thing you find, he denies it outright. You shall not surely die. And then he replaces it. God knows in the day you eat that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See how artful that was. He first questions it, then he denies it outright, talking about the Word of God, and then he replaces it. And that's what happens with a person who is a heretic. They first will just throw all these questions out and get you confused. And then when you're thoroughly confused, they kind of just outright then will deny certain doctrines of the faith. Say, no, you see, now that can't be true. Jesus can't be God because of this and this and this, and they've got you all confused by this point. And then they replace it. And let me tell you what is a good way to follow. And that's exactly how it works. That's exactly his modus operandi. Eve's deception was very interesting. You can learn a lot from that in Genesis 3. My experiences with many of the cults, Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses and Moonies and Scientologists and The Way and many others that I have seen, they all have the same strategy. They throw the questions out, get you all confused, questioning that, then they outright deny certain doctrines that are true in the Bible, and then they'll replace it. Well, read our books, listen to our tapes, follow our system. And it's very seductive. Well, the best way to counteract that, and I believe here at Calvary Chapel, the best thing you can do is go through the reading Bible program yourself. Find out what the Bible says for yourself. You don't have to depend. God will show you. He'll teach you in His Word. He really will. And you know what? You'll be able to discern then more and more as you become more and more familiar with His Word. You'll discern these things. But Peter warns, they'll secretly bring in these destructive heresies. Four times he uses this word destruction in this. In some of the translations, it's pernicious, it's damnable. The idea really is that which leads to eternal destruction. So it is pernicious, it is damnable, but it's the same word every time you see destructive here in the Greek. It's a word that implies its ultimate end will bring you down spiritually. And notice where it leads, even denying. Now, I want to point out one thing about this first, about these heresies. This is really wild. Sometimes people have a particular thing that they've held on to and they think, well, you know, I know that teacher's kind of off in this area and that area, but you know, I just like to, I spit out the seeds. I enjoy the fruit, but I spit out the seeds. And I've heard people say that. Well, why would you want to do that? I mean, would you go to a restaurant? If the waitress came up to you and says, we've got some great food here, I can guarantee you that 97% of this food is absolutely safe to eat. The other 3% is questionable, could be poisonous, but 97% is really, really good. You'll enjoy it. Now, would you eat there? Of course not. Why would you put yourself in that position if there's questions about that particular doctrine? Why would you want to have, and this is what heresies do. You see, any false doctrine, any false teaching, they come on as spiritual. They come on as truthful. In fact, they can't just tell you outright lies because you know right away this is wrong. But there's a lot of truth that will come from these heretics, people who are throwing these insinuations against the doctrines of God. They'll throw out these little things, all this truth. They'll tell you how to, you know, be a good husband and wife and what the Bible says about all these different issues that are right on. Good stuff. But then they slip it in. Those doctrines. Those weird things. You know, I'm amazed. Satan, when he questioned in the garden and said to Eve, you know, God knows in the day you eat of that fruit, you'll be like God. You want to be like God, don't you, Eve? God's kind of holding out on you. Don't you really want to be like Him? I mean, that and the idea then when she took of that fruit, it's like that was the clincher. She could be like God. Do you know what's amazing? That Satan has that same lie out today. Do you want to be God? Have I got a doctrine for you? Step right this way. I've got something to share with you. You know, it's amazing. You go to a bookstore these days, and you go to the New Age section, the occult section, and it amazes me that the ultimate point of a lot of the New Age stuff is there is a Christ in all of us. And we're all going to get there. You know, we all have the divine spirit within us. God within you. You can be your own God. And I remember when Shirley MacLaine went out on a limb and says, I am God, you know, and everybody was like, wow. She had quite a following. But that was her conclusion. Well, if she'd read Genesis 3, she'd have known where that doctrine came from. I mean, it was already there. There's nothing new. There's nothing new about the New Age. It's the old lie. It really is. You can be like God. And, of course, the Mormon doctrine is like that. You know, you'd be amazed where this whole Mormon, Joseph Smith had a revelation. God has a body just like us. And back on the planet Kolab, Mother God had two children, Jesus and Lucifer. Now, this is what they teach. Now, it's funny when we bring it out in the light, but you know, when you look at what they advertise on TV, well, they'll never tell you that. They'll never tell you about Planet Kolab and the Mother God and that, you know, that God was once a man and you'll be a God one time of your own planet and you need lots of wives so you can have lots of spiritual babies to populate that planet. They'll never tell you that. They will look like the epitome of just real homey, down-to-earth Christianity. In fact, if you want to get a picture of what Mormons look like, it's, hey, just fill out one of those Norman Rockwell pictures and you'll see. I mean, that's the picture, and it looks so homey and down to earth and, wow, this is so American and apple pie. But it's a pernicious doctrine. It's a heresy. There's false teachings. People are not trusting. They will say, oh, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that He died on the cross for our sins. But what they mean by that is something utterly, totally different than what the Bible means about it. They're preaching another Jesus. Now, there will be people who will be livid that I'm even mentioning these names. I mean, how can you be so intolerant of other people's beliefs? You know what? I'm really not intolerant. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Just don't call it Christian. That's the key. You can believe whatever you want, and if you believe that going down the street with a plastic halo on your head is going to get you saved, then you can do it. That's your choice. And you know what? I'll respect you as a person. I'll rent out to you if you need a place to live. I mean, the whole thing. But just don't call it Christian. That's where it becomes seductive and deceptive. And that's the whole point that Peter is making here. They're destructive heresies. They're parasitic because they grow off of the church. They feed off of Christians who don't know their Bibles. That's how they grow. That's mostly where they grow from. If you talk to people in cults, many of them at one time were part of another church, but were not aware of what the scriptures really had to say, and they got pulled into it. Swift destruction it will bring them. Now notice what he says in verse 2. Well, they'll bring on themselves swift destruction. This destruction is the same word as the destructive heresies. It's all going to end that way. And it says in verse 2, notice, many will follow them. They're going to be very popular. That's what Peter's saying. They'll be very popular. August 14th, Time, 1997. There was an article, actually was on the front cover, Mormons, Inc. America's most prosperous religion. In 85 years, 260,000 Mormons, Time valued them at $30 billion, which is midway in a Fortune 500 company. They're bigger than Nike and Gap. And that's big. They've got a salvation plan for you. If you've got a dead relative, join the Mormon church, tithe 10% regularly, and you can get baptized for your dead relative in the temple, and you can actually secure them a place in heaven. You're concerned about your relatives who died. You don't know where they were, perhaps. You hear this doctrine. You buy into it. Because really what it boils down to is the money and the purchasing of it. Because that's what eventually we'll see in the next verse here. But notice here, it's successful. Many will follow it. Many will follow it. They'll follow their what? Destructive ways. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. The way of truth will be blasphemed. False prophets have been around since the time of Moses. And they've always diverted people's attention from God. Remember the false prophets in the time of Moses. The Korah, who tried to lead the people to go their own way. And then they had to erect the calf and cause people to worship the golden calf rather than God. There was always an alternative. Be careful. That is really what cults are all about. It's an alternative. It's a choice. It's an option which leads one to the heretical aspect of that choice. There was one particular prophet. Of course, Israel was always plagued with prophets. And when a king was a wicked king, he would generally not lack in any amount of false prophets around him to get guidance. Ahab was one such example who had many of the prophets of Baal around him and false prophets who prophesied in the name of the Lord but did not do so truthfully. When he asked Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, to join him to go into battle against their enemy. Jehoshaphat was a good king. So as they were getting ready to go to battle, he said, can we hear what God has to say about this? So Ahab brought all of his false prophets in. They says, go up, God's going to give you victory, and you're going to come back with great spoil. It's going to be a prosperous event. Everything's going good. The economy is going better than it's ever been. We're going to do great here. So Jehoshaphat says, after listening to these false prophets, he knew something was up. He says, do you got any prophet of Jehovah around here? And Ahab says, yeah, we got one guy. He's in the jail right now because I don't like what he has to say and I'm tired of this guy. He always prophesies something bad about me. I don't like hearing him. He always got something negative to say. Well, don't say that. Go ahead and bring him out. So they go down and get him. And when they're going to get him, one of the officers warns Micaiah, the prophet. He says, now listen, this is what these prophets said, and if you're smart, you'll agree with them. Don't be saying anything different. So Micaiah says, fine, I'm going to say what the Lord has to, for me to say. So he gets up and the king says, so what should we do? Go up against the enemy or not? And Micaiah says, oh, by all means, king, go up. You'll have great victory and great spoil. And what he was doing was mocking the false prophets and being sarcastic. And the king turns to Jehoshaphat and says, didn't I tell you he'd never say anything good about me, you know? And then Micaiah says, I tell you, I saw Israel as sheep not having a shepherd. And what he's saying is that, king, you're not going to come back. You're going to die in this battle. And so the king was livid and says, I told you he'd say nothing good. And he threw him into jail and he says, don't give him anything but the bread of affliction and the water of affliction and until I come back. And Micaiah says, if you come back, the Lord has not called me. Well, guess what, folks? He didn't come back. He was killed, just as Micaiah said. But all the false prophets were saying, peace, safety, everything's fine, no problem. And in fact, that was the tone of the false prophets most of the way through their history. Always prophesying something good, something pleasant, something nice to hear. Don't tell me about any unpleasant things. That was what the true prophets were doing, and that's why they were so many of them martyred and killed. Because they spoke boldly the truth. Jesus warned, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They'll look like sheep. They might even smell like sheep. But they speak like wolves. There's something pernicious there. He says, and many will come in my name. I am the Christ, saying I'm the Christ, and deceive many. In the last days, Jesus said, false Christs and false prophets would rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You know, it makes me concerned if the thing that I've got to be concerned about in the last days isn't so much whether or not, gee, we haven't seen a miracle here in a while. What's going on? What's wrong with us? You know, Jesus spoke about the Church of Philadelphia having a little strength and not denying his name. But he warned about the false wonders, the false miracles. I think it's important for us to have a little skepticism. I think it's important for us to be a little cautious of what we believe. Not despise prophetic utterances, you know, out of hand and just assume because it's prophetic that it's wrong. Don't do that. That's a mistake. But test all things, the scripture says. Test all things. There are all kinds of false teachers out there. I mean, you know, you can get a free ministerial license by sending away for it. You can become a doctor of theology. If you have a little bit of money and you send away to one of these things, you get the little degree after your name. But a doctor of what? A minister of what? At a recent funeral that I did, actually goes back a couple of months, a particular person was going to also share along with the particular service. And afterwards, it was the request of the family. Afterwards, I got to talking with this guy a little bit, and I knew something was not all right. For something that he said, it was one of those New Age things that came out of his mouth, and then he mentioned that he was a minister, and he has a whole van full of ministers. They've also come, and it was weird. But here, these people are parading themselves as the ministers of God, when they're not in the Bible. They've got their New Age ideas and their crystals and their things that they're following. Folks, just be aware. But you know, when you're well fed in the Word of God, you're not going to fall after it. But understand where it's coming from. Notice the motivation for this. You got to wonder, what's in it for these guys? Why are they doing this? Well, verse 3 should answer that. By covetousness, they will exploit you. They'll make merchandise of you, King James says. I like that. Make merchandise of you. With deceptive words or feigned words. Words that are meant to make it sound that they're with you and it's all right. You know what amazes me is that you can hire companies to do your fundraising as a Christian organization. And they can put together letters that will, they boast. In fact, 60 Minutes not long ago did an expose on certain ministries which had hired these well-oiled companies professionally designed to get donations. And one of those companies boasted on 60 Minutes, we can compose a letter that will read like your grandmother wrote it. And they do. They artfully put these letters together. Computer generates your name. Dear Ann, I was thinking of you in my prayer tower the other day. And I was wondering if there's any needs and concerns that are burdening your heart right now. I ached for you. I prayed, and I know God wanted me to write to you and encourage you. But you know, our ministry has been under attack these days. We can't minister to all the people we'd like, and we thought perhaps maybe you could help us out. Save this ministry by sending in your donation. I mean, these letters are generated by the hundreds of thousands. Now, believe me, many of them are well put together with full color. I mean, they've got everything. I mean, very expensive. And you got to wonder, they wouldn't be expensive unless there weren't enough people out there that sent those things back in. You know, it used to be possible to hear good stuff on Christian TV pretty regularly. Now it's not a matter of biting in the fruit and spitting out the seeds. It's a matter of biting in the seeds and finding maybe a piece of fruit here and there. Be careful of what you see. You know, it used to be possible, and then what happened is the health and wealth teachers came in and got into Trinity Broadcasting Network. Now it's all over. It's everywhere you look on Christian TV, it seems. It's this Christian goopy stuff. Be careful. It's amazing how they talk so highly of faith and yet have to make such strong appeals to save their Christian TV. Don't be a pawn into the hand of so-called preachers who will whine for funding. In fact, there's an interesting thing in the early church. It was a writing that was accepted and circulated among the people in the various churches called the Didache. And this is what the Didache said. This was a test of apostles and prophets that would come into a town saying, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet. It said, let every apostle, when he comes to you, be received as the Lord, but he shall not abide more than a single day, or if need be, a second, likewise. But if he abides 3 days, he's a false prophet. In other words, he's just sponging off you. And when he departs, let the apostle receive nothing save bread until he finds shelter. But if he asks for money, he's a false prophet. Interesting. And no prophet, when he orders a table in the Spirit, shall eat of it. Otherwise, he's a false prophet. You know, these prophets will come in and say, the Lord told me to tell you, let's have a big feast together. Well, if he orders it, fine. But if he eats of it, he's a false prophet. No prophet, when he orders a table in the Spirit, shall eat of it. This was just one of the little things here. One guy says, if he asks for silver, then you know he's a false prophet. But I think it's pretty pertinent to this. Because the real test, what is the motivation? Is there's always some ulterior motive. They're trying to get something out of you. Reverend Ike and his prosperity idea, that's God's will, sent out something that I thought was quite interesting. It was a cow jumped over the moon, decal and patch. And if you send that back before 18 hours and wrap a donation and this cow over the moon, it will convert this cow into a blessing cow, a cash cow. But don't send nothing back because that would be bad luck. Well, you know, with the incredible amount of full color and the quality of paper that he put this thing on and all, that cost money to put that out. That had to have cost at least a couple of bucks. Well, you know, he must be getting a lot more back. Yeah, it's amazing. People do the strangest stuff. You know, they'll follow the strangest stuff. The key is here for us. This, we understand what the motive is. By covetousness, they'll exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. It's there. Now, we can't go any further because he's going to develop this further. We're going to stop at that point. But just understand that their judgment has not been idle. In other words, it appears that it's a long time coming, but God is going to deal with each of these people who have ripped people off in the name of God, who have taken advantage of them, who have deceived people and caused them to go. You know, Jesus said, woe to that person who causes someone else to stumble. Stumbling blocks will come, folks. You're going to see some of your loved ones get caught up in a false doctrine or some type of teaching. You're going to see things and you need to really pray. Stumbling blocks are going to be there. But woe to that person. Judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. It's being prepared for those people who would use and abuse the things of God for their own purposes. God made it simple. Have that simple devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him and Him alone. And you know what? All those things will be added to you. Seek Him first in His kingdom and all those things shall be added to you. He'll take care of you. You got great and many precious promises in the Word of God. But that's the key. Stick with the Scriptures.